This is a new edition. We actually have a guest this time on Torrin Talks and Soak and Drew, and she's I'm gonna be honest with you guys. She's a hitchhiking hooker that I picked up, and she's like, "Yo, I suck your dollar for, I suck your dollar, I suck your dick for a dollar."
I'm really glad that that's how I'm introduced. Like, you really embodied my entire personality in a second.
I actually planned this too. Anyways, I planned this bit out. And I was like, you know what? How about you just be on our podcast and then we're square? And she's like, that'll cost extra. So this is a very expensive hitchhiking prostitute for you fellows. So you better fucking appreciate it.
Seriously, because Drew's paying for this, not
I
me.
don't. I don't just pay. I just don't pay hitchhiking hookers for just anybody. That's how much I care.
There is that special somebody, though.
But yeah, we have Haley on the show, unless you want an alias. So,
No, Haley's cool.
Yeah,
I'd
I'll
like.
be.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't just call her hitchhiking hooker. That's not, you
Well, I could,
know.
but taken.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Star Wars trailer. Holy fucking shit. The first one I was kind of underwhelmed with because I felt like I got blue balls from it. It was like, okay, you showed me a little bit, but I don't really feel like I saw enough to be excited. And the second one was a little bit better, and this one it's just like having like a nerd panic attack.
There
That's
was
like
more. There was more character development in this
Yes.
trailer than
Well,
there was in the entire fourth film. Like.
oh yeah, definitely. There's actually me and Torin were talking about this before the show was there's actually like a video somebody made where they like spliced together all the trailers, but they like put it in order to where like you see the sequence of events of him like crash landing on the planet and then him meeting that girl and then
Don't tell
meeting up with Han
me.
Solo and all that. You said you saw the video.
I saw parts of it.
Well, either way, it shows all the sequence of events, so, and it's from all the trailers that have been released, and it was kind of cool.
I'm not piecing together any plot details because I still want to be.
Well, I mean, that's not a major plot detail.
No, but I mean, I don't even want to know if he crash landed. Like, I didn't even want to know his name until somebody like ruined that. I didn't want to know. I literally didn't want to know anything, but now I already watched the trailer like 10,000 times, so that's all, you know.
Was
That's
hard
all
not
out the
to.
window now.
I don't know a single person that didn't watch it multiple times.
Okay, the first time I was like, okay, I'm not gonna watch it. I'm not gonna watch it. I'm not gonna watch it. And then I watched it, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna watch it again. And then I watched it again, and then I just kept. After that, like, there's no point even lying to myself
Yeah.
anymore. So I just kept watching
How do you not know
it.
that he crash lands after seeing the trailer so many times? He's in a
Because
TIE fighter going toward a
I
planet
didn't
on
see
fire.
him in the TIE fighter. I saw the TIE fighter going to the
It
planet.
shows him in the cockpit.
I didn't assume he was in that cockpit. Like
I
I
mean, he
wasn't
probably
making.
isn't.
That's what I mean. I didn't like. That's the natural leap where your brain goes. But I wasn't having any of that. There was no logic to watching this trailer. There was no thinking aloud. It was like, ooh, pretty shiny Star Wars. Like that
Cross
was.
lightsaber, though. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, it's kind of awkward. I
It is
don't like
awkward. Like,
it.
I feel like you'd burn your hands. Like
Yeah.
realistically, you would lose all your fingers.
I mean they have like the metal part separating like the hilt from the cross guard thing, but then it's like if they hit that part, then you lose the cross guard part, like the laser part of the cross guard, so it's like what's the point?
I don't think it's like a finished final product. I think it's like if you tried to Jimmy rig some stuff at home and it's just coming out like all shenanigans like. Cause his compared to the other dudes, his the blue one seemed more solid, like traditional lightsaber construction.
Yeah.
His seemed the even the blade on his seemed kind of like wonky. So
Yeah.
I think it's a homemade, you know, like where he kind of knows what he's doing, but not really.
Yeah.
So
That would be interesting to see
that's
like
what
how he
I
learns
yeah
being
that's
a
what I
Sith.
thought when I saw it. Cause the flame like on the sides it was shooting out like flame like it wasn't
Yeah.
kind of like enclosed. Like the lightsabers usually are, so
I heard a
that's
fan
what I was
theory
thinking.
that it was also a blaster, but I don't
Oh,
know.
that would be interesting.
Why would a Jedi or a Sith shoot someone when you have an effing lightsaber? But I mean, that's just
I don't
me.
know. Well, they
Yeah.
actually already have that on that new You know that Cartoon Network animated series about like how the rebellion got started?
Oh, Star Wars Rebels?
Yeah, apparently that's on there.
Interesting. So, yeah.
I could definitely see if it was like what you're saying, like jerry-rigged, but I don't know. We'll see. For all we know, we'll be like, that's the most badass fucking lightsaber ever.
You know, I heard that somebody was like selling their tickets for thousands of dollars, their pre-ordered tickets.
That's fucking dumb.
They're online from the cheapest is $100 and the most expensive is $1,000, but it's like a whole VIP packet thing.
Like, it's like, why though? Like, just go buy your ticket.
Because they're all sold out. The people went on the site and bought like 20, 30, 40 tickets at a time. So they could go sell them to all the people who have to see it the first day.
Buy this expensive ticket and we'll get C-3PO to suck your dick. I'd buy that. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've had to do that before. I still would
be paying $1,000 for it though.
Oh, fuck like,
so there's nowhere in the United States you can get an opening night right now.
Well, you can, but if I live like in middle of nowhere, you know, Montana, I'm not gonna go to California to see Star Wars. I'm just gonna be bummed out because I can't get it because some douche went online and bought all the tickets. So yeah, well, I know like a couple of friends of mine. They went online and in their area they couldn't find tickets because it was so certain areas might be sold out. So it just depends on how much you want to move, like go out of your area to see it on opening day.
Yeah.
And then there's also going to be people actually camping out like in actual tents and shit. Like, I don't know what's up with that, but you know, like I love Star Wars, but yeah, ain't nobody got time for that. So
do you fools have jobs? What the fuck?
You know, I've always wondered, like, the people who camp out for iPhones or camp out for movies, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
If I get to bed by 11 o'clock, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not camping out for anything. Like, I'll stand in line, you know, like, if I go to, like, a concert or something, I don't mind standing in line for something, but you're talking about sleeping in a tent outside on the sidewalk, concrete at night? No, she's not doing that. Especially not out here. Like, you're asking to get, like, robbed, so... that definitely would not be flying out here, because I remember they had problems with that, with like Black Friday stuff.
That's always so disappointing to be an American when you hear about like people that get trampled on Black Friday. It's like, really? You really wanted that fucking like thigh master that bad where you just killed somebody?
Well, they said, I think they always be for like the flash screens and stuff that people be doing all that stuff for. It's like flash screens and like consoles and stuff like that. First of all, I would get a panic attack just being around that many people rushing. Like, I can't even handle the grocery store at 6 p.m. Like, I can't even do it. God. Like,
I think nobody can handle the store at 6 p.m. The moment you go into a grocery store because you really need groceries and you see it's packed, you contemplate suicide at least for a fraction of a second.
No.
There's at least some part of you that'd be like, yeah, that'd be better than going through this.
You know what that reminds me of?
Yeah.
That reminds me of high school, whenever you would have those couples that stand like right in the middle of the hallway and just basically make a baby, like right there.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey man, I have 8 minutes to get to my next class. Could you at least take this to a corner? Like,
move to the side with that.
That's what bathrooms are for. Do that in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even care. Like, it's not a moral thing. You do what you want to do, but Jesus Christ, man.
Can you not do it in the walkway? Like, I got somewhere to be. So, yeah, I just can't. I can't stand that about stores, but I don't know how we got on this tangent.
Quick change in topic. What has been your favorite party experience ever?
Party experience? Drew, yes. You should know all about that one.
Wait, was that one your favorite? The one at Nash's?
Yeah, because I have so many stories from that one night. Oh,
well, you should tell us about that, because you probably experienced stuff that I didn't.
I mean, I just want to talk about you, honestly.
What did I do?
I just want to tell you a story.
That was so minor.
Can I talk about that situation?
Yes, I guess I would like to see it from your perspective.
Okay, so I'm having a good time, you know.
Let's give background information for the people that are actually listening to. We're talking about a party that me and Haley were at a friend's house.
And it was a glorious party. Like, it was very loud,
pretty cool.
Thrown together, from what I understand. So And more people just kept showing up.
Yeah.
And at this point, I don't think I'd seen you for quite some time, right? Like, yeah. it had been a while since we'd seen each other. And, you know, the night progresses as it normally would, and I'm, like, comfortably drunk. Like, comfortably where I'm not sick, but I'm definitely not in my right state of mind anymore. So it's a good place to be. And I remember I stepped outside for, like, 2 seconds, and Nash, the guy who hosts the party, comes out, and he's like, "Haley, get him away from the goddamn punch bowl." And I'm like, "What? Whoa, whoa, what? What?" And then, lo and behold, I walk back inside, and Drew's just going at it with this girl. you guys look like a pack of wild animals, like, together, just because it was not graceful making out. It was very teeth slamming. No,
she was the one doing the teeth. It seriously hurt. Like, I literally, that was the reason why I stopped, is because she was literally biting the fuck out of me. Like, I don't mind, like, being bitten, but she was literally, like, actually biting me. And I had to stop because I was like, holy fuck.
It was just the most, like, because I, like, again, I'm in that position where I'm comfortably drunk. I don't exactly know what to do. Like, drunk me is trying to process this information. Like, do I literally get a crowbar and separate them? Because I'm afraid I might lose a finger at this point. Like, and the thing is, nobody else was upset about the fact that you guys were, again, making a baby in front of the punch bowl. They were mad that it was in front of the punch bowl. Like, if it had been anywhere else in the house, nobody would have given a crap. But they're
also,
like,
you were the asshole in the way.
Well, to be fair, too, one thing is, she made out with me. She initiated it, so I did not. It was a complete surprise on my part.
Oh, and it's so much better, because the thing is Drew was in the restroom when this happened from your accountability. So what he missed is the fact that this girl in question had chugged a shit ton of Crown, like, just straight, because she had, like, a party foul. And so I remember, again, drunk me remembers clapping and, like, hooting and hollering, because that's what the cool kids were doing at the time. And literally maybe 20 minutes later, I guess she just thinks that Drew's super cute and just literally attacks him in front of the punch bowl. And Drew's just like, all right, she's sober enough.
Now, I feel like I can give some of these details too. And I don't mean to, like, yeah. Anyway, so what was weird about that was, like, I could see her, like, she kept looking at me. Like, after I got out of the bathroom and she drank all that, she, like, kept looking at me, and it was really awkward, even though I was, like, on the other side of the room. And then when we finally ended up being the same area is when she did it. And what was really weird is, like, we eventually moved away from the punch bowl into that dining room area. And the weirdest part about the whole thing is, while we were making out, she was literally, like, making these noises, like, like, I don't think I'm doing anything particularly, like, that warrants that, but okay. It was the weirdest thing. I've never made out with a girl and she was just, like, blatantly, like, like, making these, like, weird ass moaning sex noises. But yeah, continue. Well, you have any more?
But see, the thing is, they weren't sex noises. You just interpreted them as sex noises, because you missed out on the whole Crown part. So she's not moaning in pleasure. She's moaning because she's fucking sick as shit and she's about to puke all over the place.
No, I'd be like, if you heard what I heard, it was literally like, like, that's literally what it sounded like. Like, not exaggerate. I don't think that particular noise is up for if you heard it, you would know.
I think the craziest part about that evening, though, is the fact that even after that, and to be clear, like, this girl that we're talking about is one of my best friends. Like, I love her to death. Yeah. Like, so I'm not trash talking her at all. Like, she knows and everything's cool. But it's so ironic to me that you go to a party and you watch these things happen and you see these people making all these, you know, quote unquote, horrible life choices. And somehow she is the only person that leaves that party the next day in a happy, committed relationship with someone who's not Drew, by the way.
Yeah.
Who isn't, yeah, you.
The dude, which is just so the funny. Dude was there at the party. And she, and apparently she tried to make out with him before me. And he was like, "No, I'm too drunk." That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true, but that's just what I was told. So it's like, okay.
I don't remember if he said he was too drunk or he knew she was too drunk, but it was something along those lines.
Either way, yeah. that request was denied.
And so she was like, oh, okay. Oh, it just cracks me up because I'm sitting there, like, comfortably drunk, not making any bad life choices. And it's like, I don't have any of these stories to tell. Like, I'm doing something wrong, clearly.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm sorry that I made things awkward, but at least it was interesting.
Nobody was mad at you. Like, you, yeah. You guys both. She more drunkenly than you because you were sufficiently sober. But like,
oh, I was drunk, but I wasn't, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Comparatively, like...
Yeah, oh, yeah. Comparatively, and... I was, you know...
You could still ostensibly operate heavy machinery at this point. Yes. So, like, it's just crazy to me because you were apologizing and she was apologizing. Everybody was apologizing. And I was on babysitting duty, but I was drunk. And I was just like, what is going on right now? Like, I'm supposed to be taking care of these heathens. And I'm a heathen myself.
What was funny is she was apologizing to me while we were faking out.
She was apologizing to you? What? I didn't know that part.
Yeah, no, because like, cause it was like we would make out for a little bit and then it'd be like kind of a mini break. And she would just be like, I'm sorry. I'm like, why are you sorry? And then we'd start again. That happened like a few times. So I was like, what? And then when she started throwing up, I was like, oh, that's probably what she was talking about. That.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. It's like, I just feel like that's really fucked up that she's just like, well, can't make out with the dude that I actually like, so I guess he'll work.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like I don't know how to feel about that.
I mean, you were second round draft pick, so realistically, yeah, it's not too bad.
I mean, the thing is,
but it's still, like, I would feel bad if I was the other dude and I just had to watch you make out, yeah, at the party with the other dude.
It's like, that's what I mean. It's like, you, I didn't know that. I don't feel bad in the sense that, like, I don't think I like.
No, well, you didn't know that.
But
they
I knew
were,
at the
like,
time. I don't think I did anything wrong. But like,
well, you didn't know that they were talking or whatever. Yeah. So it's not like you knew.
No
that they
fucking
were
clue. I hadn't seen or talked to Thomas in fucking forever. I need to stop using people's names. I hadn't talked to that dude in forever. But yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty fun party. What was weird though was when I left. Literally, the last thing I saw when I left upstairs was you, Haley, passed out on the floor. Like, you were just on the floor.
I was
out.
Almost on the staircase. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, I was almost on the staircase at one point, and somebody had to move me. Because no. I remember, nobody stepped on me, by the way. But I remember somebody telling me that I almost killed several people because they were trying to avoid stepping on me. So, job well done.
Well, it was really dark, so that's what made that hard, too. But, yeah, you were... passed the fuck out, and her and the dude that they liked each other were just like making out on the couch. It's like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't even know they had anything before. I just thought, honestly, she's just like, well, time to make out with somebody else. So I was like, okay, I'm leaving, because like I was sober at this point. And downstairs, everybody, literally, I'm not even exaggerating, everybody was like, let's take a shot. They take a shot and they start yelling, ah, ah. And then, like, silence for half a second, then, let's take another shot. You want to take another shot? Yeah, yeah. Whatever. It's literally just agreeing to take shots, yelling, calling each other awesome, and then taking another shot. And that was literally all they were doing in a row. So I was like, I was way too sober to deal with that, and I had work in the morning, so I'm like, I'm just going to go. Yeah, my favorite of all time was when I was in Canada. I was there with a friend, and... When things first started getting interesting is we were drinking, just talking, having a good time. And then this guy that we didn't like walked into the party. And this is in like an apartment. There's a bunch of people here. And both me and my friend, let's call him Doug. That's not his real name, but let's call him Doug. Me and Doug, we saw the guy come in that we don't like. We're like, oh, shit. And we literally said it like that. Like, we did not hide us not being happy him being there at all. And so we decided when he was not in the room, like he went outside to smoke, we stole his like entire crack and a rum like bottle. We drank it first. We drank a lot of it. And then we just stole it. Like, he just put it in his backpack. And the party overall was just fun because there's a lot of crazy lot of stuff. We were walking downstairs and this one girl at the party just comes up to us and is like, somebody said something mean to me and I can't handle this. And both me and Doug are like, holy fuck, what are we supposed to do? And this random girl comes and comforts her. We're like, okay, bye. And it was just cool because like even things that were going to be a buzzkill, like we were suddenly saved. So that was pretty fun. And then finally we stumble home because his house is like 25 minutes away and we're very drunk at this point. So we're just very drunkenly like stumbling back. And we're super hungry, so we stop by this McDonald's. And Doug has a problem talking to... At this point, he had kind of a problem talking to people he didn't know in public. But he had no money to pay for it. And I was like, listen, man, I'll pay for both of us. Just buy it. He's like, you want me to buy it? I'm like, do you have any fucking idea how drunk I am? And what's funny is I'm yelling in front of the McDonald's so the person inside can hear our conversation. But yeah, so Doug finally goes in to pay it for it, and I literally just like lay on the ground like I'm dead in front of the McDonald's, like I just passed out. And finally he walks out and we come back home and eat, and that was pretty much it. That was very fun.
What about the first time that you had ever been drunk?
Oh god, the first time I ever actually got drunk was my dad, even though my dad's an alcoholic, he would only drink beer. So, and they had a lot of liquor lying around, and my mom doesn't drink a lot of liquor and wine. So the easiest way to get drunk there was to just grab a little bit of each liquor, enough to where nobody would notice that something was different, because there was a bunch of different liquors. I got enough, and a bunch of different wines too. So I just did that one day because I just like had never gotten drunk, and I was just like, huh, I've never tried liquor before. Let me steal some of this. And I literally like, it was bad because like I got drunk and then I was on Skype, and the girl I was dating at the time was trying to webcam me, and I get super happy when I'm drunk. So the whole time she's like saying all this like super serious shit that's bugging her and really bumming out, and I have a smile on my face, a smile that I can't get rid of, and I'm legitimately trying to answer her, and she's just like, yeah, I understand you're not trying to be mean, but you should, yeah, not be talking to me right now. It's like, fair enough. So I just like start talking to my friends and just drunk babble on, and that was pretty much it, just talking to my friends on Skype while drunk for the first time. And
that's pretty exciting. That's like a decent safe story, like not to make it sound or anything, but it's like nobody died, you know? You didn't end up face first in a ditch. That's kind of nice.
My girlfriend at the time did not talk to me for a week, though.
Because you got drunk?
I don't know exactly what it was. I think it was just like a mix of like, she was legitimately going through like bad things at the time where she wanted to be alone. You know how some people, that's just kind of how they deal with that sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was kind of, I think it was a mix of like, okay, not gonna get the sympathy I'm wanting from him right now because he's clearly not in the right state of mind for that. So I think it was kind of a mix of both of that. Your turn, Torn. Cool beats. So yeah, party story.
Time that was probably really memorable was when I graduated. When I graduated from college, my friend and I both graduated at the same time, so we had like a big old party. We actually kind of like had a 2-day party. And because we like had everybody over, actually, because we kind of had like a party with our families and stuff that was like nice and everything, and then they all left, and then we had like a real party in our apartment, and that was a lot of fun, and just too many stories from that night, just a bunch of shenanigans. A bunch of my coworkers when I was in Texas came, so it was fun. And then the next day, we had another, round two, basically. And so, it was just all these random people, because, like, everybody in the town, you know, like, once it's graduation, it's, like, 50 million people graduating. So, we would just run into people, like, oh, I'm graduating! And they're all drunk. We're like, we are, too! So, then, like, we just invited, like, a whole bunch of randos over. And it was fun, but nobody ended up... I mean, I can't really divulge too much without, like, you know, naming some hardcore names and some hardcore things. But I will say that it was definitely one of the funnest parties that I've had. And it was my party, so that was good that I actually had a fun party that I threw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel bad for some people that throw parties because, like, legitimately, some people look stressed out when they're throwing their party.
Hi,
like,
hello, have we met?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would not get stressed out. First of all, I'd be like, here's the stuff, here's some music, anything else you need, like, I can't help you. So, it was really easy. Oh, like, ours was just not, it was no stress involved at all. It really wasn't.
I don't think I could successfully host the party because, like,
it's easy. Would... You text everybody you know, come over, free alcohol.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, when I get to a certain amount of drunk, I just, like, pass the fuck out.
And that's
I
don't the best be, like, part about having a party at your house. Because...
Well, I know, but, like, that's generally what you're supposed to do is, like, be one of the last people to fall asleep. Or, like, at least wait till everybody gets the fuck out of your place.
Well, no. Actually, at my party, I was the first person that passed out. And I woke up, and then everybody else was kind of gone. So, that's kind of how that happened. I wasn't the first person. I was, like, the fourth or something. I don't know. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, just a quick reminder. No swearing allowed on the podcast.
Okay.
Fuckface. Anyway, glad we established that. I'm just going to start making up rules that I don't follow. That's going to be fun.
Wait, is that a serious rule, or are you just...
Oh, no, I was completely messing with you.
Oh, see, now I'm over here feeling bad, because I feel like, well, everything I've said has been invalid then, because, like, no. You can't use it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, everything I say will be you. Invalid. But actually, I'm nice on the podcast. Like, I'm very nice.
Yes. Yeah. I concur.
Yeah, because I listen.
She's
to...
abusive. The moment the recording software goes down, she just, like, goes super abusive. Just like, fuck you, Drew, piece of shit, and die. And I do every time.
I would not say all that. I mean, not that I would. I wouldn't say all that to Drew. I might say it to somebody else, but
oh. Watch out, Harry.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah, you're the next victim. Drew had to do something hardcore for me to do all that.
Oh, I'm all about being hardcore.
Yeah. So, yeah. Generally, I'm pretty neutral until, like, you piss me off. But once I'm mad, it's, like, the Hulk. So, I just tend not to, like, I try to Bruce Banner my way. Like, just let me just do my thing and don't make me mad, so.
Don't make me mad.
Yeah, because it's not nice. So, yeah.
Quick switch on topic. If you absolutely had to write a book, what would it be about?
Go ahead.
This book is already, I don't know if it's out, but it's a cover. And it's
You're gonna start this by talking about a real book?
It's not. I don't know if it's not a real book. It's just like a mock cover somebody made. But I would actually write the real book.
Okay.
And it's called Your Child's an Asshole. And I solely stand by that theory.
I like
theory,
it already.
And it would just be the ways that people have they're raising these douchebag kids, and then they become douchebag adults. You know. So I would definitely just. Right, just all about that, because yeah, that I feel like that would be a bestseller.
You know, I agree. I feel like that would be very beneficial to a lot of new parents.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah,
I feel like that would be a book that you either love it or hate it. No, like there's no middle ground.
It's like your kid's an a-hole, and they probably got it from you. That's the subtitle.
Like we need. Yeah, exactly. We have to stop telling America. That it's not your fault that your kid's a douche. Like,
yeah, it's totally your fault your kid's a douche.
Yeah.
Like, you play an active role in this douchery. Like, it is also you.
Yeah, that's the one thing I can't stand about people. Like, they act like things happen in a vacuum. Like, they don't understand, like, how these things... Well, I don't know what happened. Well, maybe if you pay 5 minutes of attention, you will see that your kid's a psychopath. Like,
yeah.
I just...
It's like...
I don't get it.
Yeah. Or, like, they blame everything but their shitty parenting. Like, it's because he listened to the rap music. The rap music.
The video games.
Ruined my kid. The video games. The...
Damn video games,
No,
though.
But this is the thing that I don't understand. Okay, like, when I was a kid, they would show, like, all the Looney Tunes, you know, cartoons, you know. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It didn't take a rocket science for me, little kid me, to figure out that I can't run through the effing wall like Wile E. Coyote, okay? That's just, like... you don't, like, so to me, when they try to blame stuff, like, that's what I say, like, when we were kids, we were watching Terminator. Nobody was going out thinking they were really Terminator. Yeah, yeah. So, if you want to blame, like, games and movies, I just think it's BS, because there's been, like, violent stuff since the beginning of time, and, like, people weren't acting like dildos. So, it's just... you know, it's just how you raise your kid and what you let them do, and, you know, poor parenting, just pretty much. So what would your book be called, Drew?
I don't know what it'd be called, but I'd most likely want to write about religion. What we think about religion, why people turn to religion, how that affects us, like, culturally, mm-hmm. How that affects everything we do and all that stuff.
Oh, your book's all serious? Really, we're supposed to have, like, fake books. We're not supposed to have, like, real introspective books. Like, you're making me feel bad.
Well, that's what I would do if I had to write a book. That would be the topic. I feel
he's like, damn, let me change my answer.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if we were talking, like, a real book, I would want, like, a photojournalism book or something. Well, but I wasn't talking, like, real life.
That was the point of the... The question was, like, if you absolutely had to write a book.
Well, you have to put serious or something, because I was like, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can put whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me. No. I chose to answer it seriously. You can answer however you want.
Well, my answer's already logged in now. I can't change it. You can't change your answer. Like, so what would you write about for fake?
For fake? I would probably do something what George Carlin did, where he basically... He had this philosophy of, like, where he would write jokes, and, like, a lot of it didn't go into, like, his actual stand-up, because some of it wasn't necessarily, like, even good enough to be in joke form. Mm-hmm. But he would, like, write a lot of this extra stuff or these, like, interesting thoughts down, and it was really cool. I'm trying to think of some stuff, but I can't think of anything at the top of my head. But it was kind of, like, just a bunch of Woody-isms and sayings and one-liners.
Like, and don't stuff drop like that. The soap. I don't like what.
No, like, I'm trying to remember, because he wrote. I mean, it's hard to remember everything because he wrote, like.
No, I mean, for you.
Three books like this.
I meant you.
Yeah, don't drop the soap. Yeah, that's an important one.
Should write a book. Like, you should write a book on, like, why things are funny.
Well, I already read a book that's like that.
Oh, see, here I was thinking that's an original idea.
Oh, no, I have a book. I read a book that like, kind of teaches you about joke writing, and it talks about, like, the psychological reasons why we laugh. So that's already kind of been done.
Well, fine. Never mind.
No, it's a good one. But yeah, I'll write that for my thesis if I ever go to grad school. Why people laugh at dumb shit.
That should be your title. Everything, yes, perfect, done. Glad we had this talk.
By Dr. Drew Sanders.
By Dr. Drew Sanders. Precisely.
Dr. Drew, the not shitty one.
That gonna be your handle?
Yep. Actually, I have nothing against Dr. Drew, but that'd just be fun to be mean to him for no reason. This whole time he thinks I, like, have a grudge against him. Mm-hmm. Just like, no, that's just a stupid title. Got your attention, didn't it?
That would be funny.
So what would you write about, Harry?
You know, I don't know, honestly. Like, I would probably want to write about something... Like, I would probably want to have some kind of fiction novel that becomes, like, a cult classic, like Harry Potter, The Hunger Games, or something that...
Twilight.
Not Twilight. Like, I literally had to cancel that one out, because that... You know, I remember reading Twilight whenever it came out, like, way before the movies, way before it got picked up as anything big. And I remember thinking that the first book was going to be a standalone. Like, that was just it. And I was like, yeah. I remember reading it and thinking, okay, all right, cool. And literally, like, the next month, movies are being announced. The sequel is written. And it's just like, Jesus Christ. And I remember reading it and thinking, this is progressively getting shittier. Like, the first book had potential.
It really did. It really did. And
I admit, I read it and I liked it.
I liked the first book. It really was immersive in the world, even though she was, like, a thesaurus whore. but it was still, like, I still got into it. Like, I got into the world. And even, like, actually how I got into it, because my friend was on the second book, And he was like, do girls really think like this? Because this book is, like, beyond ridiculous. Like, I can't even believe that, like, any girl would, like, have this train of thought, like, pattern. And so I was like, well, let me see what you're reading, you know. And I read it, and I was just like, yeah, no, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Like I said, the first book wasn't that bad. Like,
you know, no, it wasn't.
Plot and all these characters, and you were kind of interested. Like, I remember enjoying reading Twilight, and then I think, what is it, New Moon? Is that the second one?
Yeah.
And I remember reading New Moon, and, like, it progressively just got more and more preachy and more, oh my gosh, Edward Cullen, oh my gosh.
It definitely was preachy. It had a very biased Mormon agenda. You know, it's like she had all these ideas and hopes and dreams that she just threw out the window as soon as she got married, and she was staunchly against, like, not having a baby like her mother, and then she had a kid, and it was like, well, forget all my previous, like, thoughts and goals, and I'm married with a baby now. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, and then here's another, like, kind of on a tangent right now, but, like, I think Harry Potter was the first movie to do it where they split up their final series into two parts, you know?
Yeah.
And then, boom, 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 what happens?
Yeah.
The Hobbit gets three freaking movies.
Yeah.
Hunger Games gets two final movies, just like Harry Potter. Twilight gets two. And I remember thinking, in Twilight, I remember thinking, there's not enough
material. What I thought, too.
There's... Like, there really isn't. And normally it's the opposite, you know? Like, there's too much material to condense in a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
And even a four-hour movie.
Because, like, nothing really happens in the last book. It's like, okay, she becomes a vampire. The Volturi find out. They want to kill him. Oh, it was a misunderstanding. Bloop. Like, that's it. That's why they have to have that whole dream sequence in the middle of the last one to, like, filler the movie out to just make it have something. Because it just, it didn't have any, it didn't even have enough for... That was just a cash grab.
You know, and that's the thing is, have you guys ever read Game of Thrones at all?
I have read Game of Thrones. I'm not
going to, like, spoil anything huge.
But I watched all the shows.
I've read all the books. I've read all the Game of Thrones. So.
Well, if you've read or watched or even kind of have heard people talk about it, then you know that George R.R. Martin does not give a shit about his characters. Like, he doesn't care where they live or die or how much you love them. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And Stephanie Meyer is, like, the exact opposite. Yeah. Like, it got to the point where there was this big battle. There was all of this pent-up tension. And you're sitting there as a reader or a viewer, if you're watching the movie, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, this is what it comes down to. And then nothing happens. They literally shake hands and walk the other way. And I was like, for a book about vampires, this is probably the most unrealistic part of the whole
series. Nobody dies.
Everybody lives happily ever after, and it's just like
nonsense.
And I'm just like, that doesn't happen. Like, it's not a story. You're just woo.
I just want to say, the difference between, like, you know, Stephanie Meyer and George R. R. Martin is, like, you can tell that he reads a lot and he knows a lot about, like, history and other things and real life. And she's, like, a Mormon housewife.
Yeah.
I expect her to think that life ends in a fairy tale world. In her backstory, it makes sense. It's not good writing. It's not good fiction. But I guess, you know, like, she made a...
I don't like it, but I understand.
Yeah. That's exactly my point. Like, George R. R. Martin, like, subvert tropes and, you know, writing and stuff. He kind of, like... does the opposite of what you think is gonna happen.
I remember, like, hearing a statement that he made that I agreed with so much, was he was kind of talking about how, like, he is a fan of Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, but ultimately the fact that those types of books are held as the standard has crippled fiction, in the sense that, like, everybody feels like they have to go this route, the stereotypical, you know, good always wins and triumphs and all that stuff. And I think he really has revolutionized fiction.
Yeah.
Because that's why this is so popular, is because it's so new and because it's so, like, not cliched.
Yeah, and he said something that was really interesting, too, when he was talking about Lord of the Rings. And he was talking about, okay, now that Aragorn's king, like, okay, people are just going to randomly accept this rando that's not been here forever. You don't know anything about the country. You don't know anything about ruling. Like, what's your tax plan? Yeah. He's like, these questions that he had after Lord of the Rings, which is what kind of made him, you know, do Thrones, which I thought was interesting.
In all intents and purposes, Aragorn was definitely more of, like, an elven citizen than anything else. Like, his identity, I mean, like, he knew the elvish language and, like, lived there for forever.
He just kind of rolled in and took over.
I mean, yeah, Yeah, so I mean, I definitely agree with that, and I hope he stays alive to write all of them. I really do, because I do want to eventually beat them. That. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, he has a ghostwriter for that reason. Like, just in case, he's told
No, he said no. He told his wife not to publish it.
What?
Yeah.
This is news to me.
Yeah, huh. He told his wife he didn't want anyone doing the works if he dies. Which I think
what the hell? This dude's like the biggest troll in the world, and I know Drew, so that's...
So, thanks for listening.
Hell yeah.
You did forget your... bitches at the beginning. I think you were just too excited.
Well, good night, bitches. There you go. See, I put one in. Snuck one in there really covertly.
Yeah, you did.
Bitch. Like Dave Chappelle.